Hallelujah. Well, can you hear the voice of the Spirit of the Lord? Can you hear His voice when He is speaking with all the distractions and all of the challenges and difficulties that we face each and every day, all of the things that we have to do, the things that are flooding our mind? We still need to be able to hear the voice of the Spirit of the Lord. And it's not always easy, is it? It's challenging sometimes, but nonetheless, God is there. He is there and He is speaking. And it is our responsibility to hear His voice and to follow His direction. And He will navigate us through all of the challenges and the difficulties that we would face. And that's what enables us to endure all these things. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. Are you excited about that? Yes. Hallelujah. And so as we think about all of these things, let us remember that we are never alone, that He is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And all we need to do is just pause and acknowledge Him in all of our ways. And the Word of God says He will direct our path. And that is a true statement, that God will direct us when we yield ourselves and we surrender ourselves to Him. And it will change your life. He sustains us. He makes a way for us. And even when it seems impossible, God has a way of showing up. And He turns darkness into light. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I hope you're excited today. And I pray that you are looking forward to God doing great things in the midst of your life and that you are experiencing God. Did you know that being a Christian is an experience? You know, wasn't that interesting, the information that Shalay shared for the missions update? Did you enjoy that? Yeah, praise God. That was great. I was a little nervous there when you called me up here to Man, I had to dig deep for that. I was like, man, shoot. Oh yeah, I noticed both these guys disappeared after that. I'm like, where'd they go? But very interesting stuff that Christianity is the most persecuted religion in the world. And I know we often think about, the Jews and the Holocaust and all the different things that have gone on in the world that have been terrible things. But in today's society, Christianity is the most persecuted religion in the world. And that is exactly what Jesus said would happen. He said, if the world hated me, they will hate you also. So if you decided to give your life to Christ so that everybody would love you and everything would go great in your life, psych your mind, It is the way of suffering. Isn't that right? And Jesus modeled that, and that is what we know and we understand, but the amazing thing is we know the reality of God, and not just the fact that God is real and His word is true, but we know the power of God, and God is able to heal, deliver, and set free. He is able to raise the dead. Amen. Hallelujah. And I can assure you that the word of God is true and that God is faithful. Even to the very end of the age, the Word of God says. And that is awesome. That is exciting. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Well, today we are talking about, talking about how God has created all things new. He has done a new thing in the life of every believer. And we are talking about this month, Don't Look Back. And overall, it's part of our quarterly theme, In the Beginning, God. In the beginning, God. And as I thought about this, as we were praying our way through what was expected of us by God or given to us by God to say, I was thinking about the fact that all beginnings come from God. All new beginnings, all genuine new beginnings come from God. Only God can make you new. Only God can make you new. Otherwise, you're just going to continue to repeat your old ways, your old self. But when you come to Christ, when you come to God, he places us on a path known as the path of righteousness. That means he is correcting things in our life as we move forward. He makes us righteous. In other words, he aligns us, he molds us, he shapes us so that all things go from chaos into a place of divine order, the way God designed us to actually live and function. And so we are being made new from the fall of man, from the life of bondage and darkness, from the life that has been separated from God, no knowledge or understanding or even perception of the reality of God, and we're being brought into fellowship, into relationship, into the life-giving life of God himself. We are becoming more and more like Jesus. We are becoming more and more like God himself. And only God can do that. Only God can do that. Otherwise, we're destined to live a life that has already been lived throughout history. A life that is rooted in a fallen nature. And as Solomon said, there's nothing new in all the earth. And there's nothing new in regards to humanity and mankind. People don't change, essentially. And you can't change yourself. But God, he can transform you, and he can make all things new. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so today, amen, hallelujah. We are here with our pastoral panel. We got our dynamic duo with me here today, Rafi and Pastor Michal. Hallelujah. And we are excited, right?
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah. Yeah. About what the Lord is doing. And we know that God is doing a new thing in your lives and in our lives. And we have something to look forward to. And I just want to throw this verse out as we started. We started the quarter off talking about this. And it is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, hallelujah, was moving over the surface of the waters. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we ask God that you would come alive in the midst of us, that you would breathe life into us, that you would strengthen us, that you would renew us, and that you would enable us to hear your voice, even in the midst of the distractions of this world, that we might follow you. God, arise, and may your enemies be scattered. Transform us, renew us, and make us new. Oh God, we thank you for all that you are doing in the midst of our lives. Open our ears that we may have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us as individuals today, as the word of the Lord comes forth in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. And so we are started out the year talking about how the earth was formless and void, but the Spirit of God is moving. And I just want to start out by saying, when the Spirit of God is a part of your life, he's always moving. The Spirit of God is not stagnant and he does not stand still. Amen. He is always working. He is always molding and shaping us. He is always doing something in the midst of this world. And we have to remember that God is not just standing by watching, but God is actively engaging in people's lives. But the important thing to remember is it's by invitation.
That's right.
If you want God to do something in your life, you must acknowledge him and invite him in. Amen. And it's Amen. Just like if two people are having a conversation and a third person walks up, it doesn't matter how well that third person knows the other two people, they will wait until there is an invitation for them to engage and participate in the conversation or whatever it is. It would be rude for you to just walk up and engage somebody. So how you doing? Why, they're involved with someone else,
yeah.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And so God is the same way. If you're going to do what you do and you don't invite God in, then God says, well, I'll just wait for the invitation. I'll wait for you to acknowledge me. And usually that means when we fall on our face and say, oh no, what am I going to do now? Oh God, help me. And the Lord says, oh, you do need me. And so then God shows up. But if we can acknowledge him from the beginning, how different would your day be?
Amen.
If we could just acknowledge him. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and that is when creation began. It began when the word of God was spoken. And when God spoke, the Spirit of God moves. And when you speak, according to the word of the Lord, under the inspiration of the word of God, then things will begin to move in your life. Amen. Things will begin to change and be transformed. And so Pastor Raphael started us out when we were talking about the expanse. And you can go ahead and why don't you jump in here at this point.
Okay. Jump in. Like right now?
Well, yeah, sure.
Okay. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. We've been talking about the expanse and we have the opportunity to be able to get into the Word of God. You know, it's just amazing how far God has brought us as a house, right? How God, like even today, we're still experiencing new things, right? We got all the kids downstairs. They're already running amok down there, just so you know. Unfortunately, you know, that's where Pastor Shelley put me. And so I was like, I take the hint, you know, I'm one of the kids forever.
Well, I figured all the people running amok should be together.
Amen. Amen. Listen, I'm rambunctious, you know? But I love the numbering system here. So if your kids are really acting amok, you know, if their number comes up there, go get them. But praise God, we were talking about a new thing, right? We were talking about a new just the beginning of what God is doing in our lives. And where God had brought me was in 2 Corinthians 5, beginning at verse 14, right? It says, for the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that those who live would no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one by the flesh. Even though we have known Christ by the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this person is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. And I want to pause right there for just a second. Because it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come.
Yes. Hallelujah.
I hope you understand that. Because I've never seen anybody. We pray for new cars here all the time, right? I've never once seen somebody, when we're praying over a new car, be like, man, I really miss my hoopty. I wish that God would get rid of this new car and put me back in my hoopty that was barely working, barely alive, and when I was on the highway, I didn't know whether or not I'd make it to my exit. Mm-hmm. I've never heard that, you?
No, never heard anybody.
Pastor Reed? Nope. But it's amazing how many Christians who are new creations continue to reference their old selves and try to bring it back into their new creation that God has made them to be.
Right, right.
God has made you a new creation,
right,
so that we can actually move forward and do the new things that God has called us to do. And you know, when I had the opportunity to share the word, I talked about being spiritual grave robbers. God has put that old person away in the ground. And then sometimes we try to go back in the middle of the night when nobody's looking and just get themselves a little something, something.
Try to dig it up.
There is no treasure in what God has put to death.
That's right.
Amen. Right?
Amen.
There is no treasure in what God has put to death. Let it die. The only place where zombies belong are in the movies. Mm-hmm. All right? Not in Christ's new creation, all right? And so it continues on into verse 18. And in verse 18 it says, now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their wrongdoings against them. Mm. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation.
Yes.
And that is such an important word.
Oof.
Reconciliation.
Yes.
You know it's an important word when God puts it like three or four times in two verses.
That's right.
Because not only did God call us to reconcile our relationships with him, he's called us to reconcile with one another.
Mm-hmm.
The church cannot operate effectively if it is not operating from a place of peace. Too often, we allow the enemy into our lives, we allow the enemy into ministry, and we get flustered, we get aggravated, agitated, and then we allow that spirit of offense to creep in. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, not this person again. Right? But the fact of the matter is that where there is no peace, there is no God. And I don't know about you, I don't want to be where God is not.
That's right.
And so if we truly want to be able to operate in this new creation that God has called us to be, we need to be able to operate in the spirit, in the ministry of reconciliation.
That's right?
Right?
That's right.
Therefore, in verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin in our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And I love how it ends here. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf.
Jesus
has existed since the creation of time. As Pastor Shelley, you were reading in Genesis, the Spirit of God was hovering over the deep, right? Jesus has existed well longer than any of us have ever existed or ever will exist. Mm-hmm. And in his entire existence, he had never done anything wrong. He had never spent a second away from his Father. He had never done anything that would constitute him receiving punishment.
Mm.
And yet, just so that we can experience reconciliation with our Father, he who knew no sin whatsoever took on the sin of the entire world. Past, present, future. He has taken on sin that hasn't even been committed yet. Think about that. Some of us don't want to take on the responsibility of the actions we took today. Much less the actions that we take tomorrow. But Jesus, God, saw fit to take on all of the sin on our behalf. On our behalf. So that we might become the righteousness of God in him. How awesome is Jesus.
That is awesome.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it's so important to grasp that concept because, you know, the only sin that you go to hell for, if you will, is rejecting the one who paid your sin debt.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And so that means your sin debt is paid. All you need to do is surrender yourself. I love that verse. He says, you know, you no longer live for yourself. Amen. We're living unto God. That is what true repentance looks like.
That's right.
Repentance is when you stop living for yourself and you start living for God. And that means you begin to align yourself with the Word of God, with the ways of God, so that you can have a divine life experience. And it transforms us into the image or the reflection or the picture of Christ. And so our lives are being made new over and over and over again. And the experiences that we have are different. They're unique from those experiences that the world has. And all of the things that they go through and they deal with, you know, we will also go through and deal with, but our experience in going through them is different.
That's right.
And we come out differently. Our end result is different. When the flood of Noah took place, everybody went through the flood, but only Noah and his family survived.
That was a different experience.
They had a different experience. Mm-hmm. But the flood was for everybody. The flood was for everybody. You follow what I'm saying? And that's a picture of what God does in our lives. The flood is going to come. The question is, are you obedient enough to God to have your ark built so that when the waters come, you can ride over them? Because if you follow the mentality of the world, you are going to drown. And there are so many drowning Christians out there, and it's because they are not aligning themselves with the Word of God. That's and right. The truths of God. And so as a result, you end up underwater. Yeah. And this is why the scripture says when the floods come, they won't overwhelm you. When the deep waters arise, you won't drown. And when the fires come, you won't be consumed. It's because, like Noah, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the Lord will be with you, and he will give you what you need, but it'll be up to you to do it and follow through in obedience in order to have a different life experience. And so it really comes down to what you actually do with the truth of God and the Word of God that will determine what your life experience will be. And that is why so many Christians have different experiences in their Christian walk. It's because we all apply the Word of God in different ways. And there are some of us who don't apply the Word of God at all. And then we see people who are blessed in one area of their life, and it seems like they're cursed in other areas. And that's because they apply the biblical truth in one area of their life, but it's completely ignored in other areas of your life. So to the degree in which you apply the principles of God, that's the degree to which you can stay above water. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Well, hallelujah. Pastor Michal had some things to share.
Before I do, I just want to share one
jump
thing
in.
On what Raphael was speaking about too. I love that verse in 2 Corinthians 5:21, right?
Yes.
He said, he made him who knew no sin to be sin.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I think that's so important to actually, that those two words, to be sin. Because yes. Jesus never sinned.
Right.
Right? And so often as Christians, we end up walking and walking, we start comparing ourselves to each other, you know? And right. say, oh, I'm better because I do this. Or I'm, right. you know, progressing in my Christianity because at least I'm not doing that. Or I'm not doing what this person is doing, right?
Right. Yeah. Right.
But if we look at the scriptures, they're very clear that even though Jesus never sinned, right?
Right.
He actually took on the image, if you will, of sin, right? Mm-hmm. So that our sin now could be actually consumed by the wrath of God, right?
That's right.
Right.
Now, when we compare ourselves to anything as Christians, we should be comparing ourselves to Jesus.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? And
That's
when we look right. at Jesus and we look at all the glory of Jesus and the perfection of Jesus, it's so quickly that we're humbled. And we start to realize that we need the Holy Spirit to once again come and actually start to really examine our hearts and that allow us that place so we can walk upright before God, but in a place of actually a repentant state also, you know? So
yeah.
I love that. Where it doesn't say that even though he knew no sin, right. he didn't sin and was punished. You know what I'm saying?
Right, mm-hmm. that's right.
But he never sinned,
right.
but he became as sin.
Yep.
Right? So that the wrath of God could be poured out upon him, right? And even that caused for a moment in time. And I believe Jesus could endure anything, right? Even the cross, right? Uh-huh. He walked at the cross. And for him to take everything he took on the cross without once having a sinful thought kept him to be sinless, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So just think of all the torture, all the pain he went through, right?
Right?
Yet on that cross, when it came time for the wrath of God to be poured out upon him, there had to be a separation for a moment or even right. a split second in time
right.
where that wrath was poured upon him.
Right.
And Jesus, that was unbearable for Jesus,
right.
to be separated from God from even a split second. And that's where our right. vision should be, our mindset should be. Lord, I never want to be in a place where I'm disconnected from you, you know?
Right. Right.
So,
yeah. I mean, how many people would have been cursing out?
Exactly. Yeah.
The soldiers,
or even just call the angels down. You know.
Yeah. You know, and responding.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You know, some people they bang their foot or stub their toe or they hurt themselves and they're cussing over that.
Yeah.
You know. And here's Jesus,
boom.
Taking all types of beatings and enduring.
Yeah.
And I love that you make an excellent point. He became sin. I mean, think about that just for a minute, that phraseology there. He became sin.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
And mind blowing.
Just to build off that as well is the fact that the two worst things that possibly could ever have happened to an individual happens to Jesus
right.
in that same moment. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The worst punishment that you could endure at the time was crucifixion.
Yeah.
The worst punishment. And it's not, I mean, outside of the Passion of the Christ, most movies try to make it look real nice. Passion of the Christ make you want to throw up. But that's how bad it was. He endured the worst punishment on the planet and became that sin. And then he gets separated from his father, which is the next worst thing that could possibly happen. So the worst thing in the flesh that could happen and the worst thing in the spirit that can happen, Jesus endured both of those things.
Yeah.
And was able, and I believe that it was 3 days he was separated from his father.
Right. Yeah.
Alone. Because it says he descended.
Right. Yep. Right. Yeah,
and on the third day he rose.
That's right.
That's a long time to spend away from your father that you've been with for eternity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So anyway, so praise God. So yeah, so moving on to, I guess, where the Lord had me this, I was really meditating on everything we've gone through in this quarter, because this is kind of a wrap up of the quarter, right?
Right. Yeah.
You know, we started off in January with a new start, then it was a new thing, right, in right. February, and March was Don't Look Back, right?
Right.
And if you look at the three of those together, right,
mm-hmm.
you know, if we have a new beginning, right, but there's no new thing.
Right.
What are we looking back to? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
As we start to look at that in the natural,
right.
it almost seems like a contradiction or confusion, right?
Right.
A contradiction
Absolutely.
In terms, right? Which is kind of what the Lord gave me for today, right?
Right.
Contradiction in terms. But,
right.
you know, as we start to study God's word, that even though the world would like to try and confuse us, and the world would like to throw all different, you know, aspects of lies at us to try and veer us away from the truths of God, we have to be all the more intentional, all the more dedicated right. to finding out what does God's word say, right?
Right.
And really be grounded in God's word. And as I just want to read here from 1 Kings, it's about the initiation, Solomon's start, right?
Right.
And then we'll see how kind of Solomon ended, right? And we'll see what caused that, right? So in 1 Kings 3, 5 through 15, it says, "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night and said, and God said, 'Ask what you wish me to give you.' Then Solomon said, 'You have shown great loving kindness to your servant David, my father. According as he walked before you in truth and righteousness and uprightness of heart toward you, and you have reserved for him the great loving kindness, this great loving kindness, that you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, yet I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. Your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people who are too many to be numbered or counted. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?' It was pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. God said to him, 'Because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself long life, nor have you asked riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself discernment to understand justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart, so that there has been no one like you before, nor shall one like you arise after you. I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there will not be any among the kings like you all your days. If you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and commandments as your father David did, then I will prolong your days.' Then Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and offered burnt offerings and made peace offerings and made a feast for all his servants." You know, I love that because it really describes us. How many of us, when we first become saved, come with that? Our eyes are opened. We realize our sinful state before the Lord. We realize our depravity. We realize how much God is actually saving us from, right? He's saving us from the fires of hell. All that's revelation to us. It's new, it's fresh, and we're so excited about it. And that may even carry us for quite a while, even as it did with Solomon, right? God starts to give us wisdom. He imparts the Holy Spirit to us, right? We start to be able to understand the word that we're reading now, you know? Whereas even if we read it the day before, we would not have been able to understand it. We would have been critical of the word, right?
Right.
But when we come into, when we have received now the gift of the Holy Spirit, now the things of God start to be opened up to us.
Yeah.
Our eyes are open. This is new. This is fresh. And we have this wisdom, right? Mm-hmm. And now if we do, as God said, if we continue to pursue after him,
yes.
all these things that he promised Solomon, all these things that he promises us, right? He promised that he will never leave us. He promised that he has a plan for us, a future for us, that is to prosper us and not to harm us, right? All these promises, the whole scripture is filled with those promises. They are ours,
right?
Not just for the asking, but they will, you said, if we seek first the kingdom of heaven, right? And his righteousness, all these things will just be added to us, right? So all these things will be added to us, but what happens? The same thing as what happened to Solomon. We saw Solomon walk through his walk with God, right? He started to become consumed by the things of the world. He started to become distracted by the things of the world. Now, his distraction was women, right? But for any one of us, that can be replaced by anything else. Is it your job? Are you too distracted by your children? Are you too distracted by your career? Are you too distracted by working out and, you know, become, you know, buffed? Whatever it may be, right? Whatever that, you know, every one of us have something that distracts us.
Right.
And some of us, it might be multiple things, right? But all those things, we have to make sure that we're bringing them before the Lord and say, "Lord, cause my focus to be singular. Stop letting me look and wander at the things of this world. Because this world is not our home. This world is a temporary dwelling place for us. We are kingdom citizens. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Right? Never fool yourself in thinking, oh, wait, you're a United States citizen because you were born here, or whatever country you were born in, right? You're a citizen of that country because you were born there, right?
Right.
Well, you've been born again.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You've been born again into the kingdom, right? Into the kingdom of God. So now you are a citizen first of the kingdom of God. Amen.
Right.
And just like if you become a naturalized in America, you forsake all other nationalities, right?
That's right.
You are now a child of God. You're in the kingdom of heaven. And we need to start getting that focus and seeing this as not just a home, but this is our mission field.
That's right.
God has sent us on a mission and we are making our way back home.
Yes.
But we are sent on a mission. We are sojourners in this world to actually spread the gospel message.
Right.
So we, no matter how permanent we set up our things here, they're going to end.
That's right.
Right? And God wants us to always be mindful of that because He's preparing a place for us.
Right.
He's gone to prepare a place for us. So that place is already being prepared.
That's right.
So we should be heavenly minded. And what we're doing here should be the treasures that are going before us into heaven, right? The souls of those, when we get there, the treasure should be all the souls that we had the privilege of actually spreading the gospel message to and came into that same kingdom, right? But what can happen, right? And this is what happened with Solomon. You see it as Solomon goes through this, right? Mm-hmm. We go to Ecclesiastes. And if you read the whole book of Ecclesiastes, you see that Solomon went into a state of depression.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. He did everything. He tried everything. You know? And you see each one of them. He labels every one of them out separately. And you see that every single one of them, this was his final declaration, if you will, after doing all of that, right? He won't even give his own name in this, right? He says the words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem. He won't even say Solomon, you know what I'm saying? Because he recognizes that name in and of itself, the name that God established for him, the one that God gave wisdom to, the one that God gave knowledge to, the one that God gave all the wealth of the world to, right?
Yeah.
Solomon has now compromised. He didn't follow solely after things of God, right? You see at the end, he comes back and admits his mistakes before God.
Right.
But his life's, after spending a whole life with the full wisdom of God, being the wisest man ever to be, prior or after, right?
Right.
Being the richest man prior or after, right?
Right.
And all that he had available, all that he could have done, this is his testimony, right? The words of the preacher, the son of David in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What advantage does man have in all his work when he does under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. Also the sun rises and the sun sets, and hastening to its place, it rises there again. So he's looking at everything, he says, nothing changes. It's all just vanity, no matter what you try. And he's right, that if you continue to pursue after the things of this world, you will come to the same conclusion that Solomon came to.
Right.
It is all vanity. If you're pursuing things of this world, it's all vanity, because it all will wax away. But if we continue to pursue after the Lord and the work that He has for us, not only is it energizing, but now there's newness following us every time. It's not just following us, but it's going ahead of us. That as we start to deliver God's message, all of a sudden we see hearts being renewed. We see homes being changed. We see neighborhoods starting to come to life, right? We see the word of God going forth. We see God being glorified and God being praised. And people are actually now on a path unto righteousness, right?
Amen.
And that will start to generate an energy in us, an excitement in us. And no longer will we have this depressed attitude. We'll be looking, Lord, what's next? Who do you want me to reach next? When I go to my job, Lord, what is it? Why have you got me here? Who am I supposed to reach today? And if we have that mindset, every day we'll be anticipating a new thing. We'll be anticipating a new start, right? We won't be looking back to see how God failed us or how we did all wrong or all the sins that we committed and now they're giving voice to the enemy in our head. We'll be looking back to how God delivered us from all of our situations, how God provided for us in our times of need, how God gave us the words to speak when we knew not what words to speak, right?
That's
and we'll be able to actually now use that, right, as testimony for future. So it all works together. So while it might look like a contradiction in terms, if you're pursuing after worldly gain or worldly mindset, yes. But if you're pursuing after things of God, all of that will tie together into a beautiful and bright future for us to come, right? Because even as Pastor Raphael was said, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation,
hallelujah,
right? So you are a new creation for the purposes of God. You are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And that is our first allegiance, right? To actually promote the kingdom of heaven. And then, and look towards our home that God is preparing for us. So praise God this morning.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
You know, that's so amazing because, you know, when you're excited about something,
yeah,
you can't keep it to yourself.
You don't have to work at it, yeah.
And that's what this is really all about. If Christ has really done something in your life, you can't just ignore it.
You want to tell people,
and
yeah,
when you're around other people and you're interacting with them and you realize that they have a need that Christ can fill, it's almost like you can't wait to jump in and tell them.
And it's almost like you have to work to keep it back.
You do, you know? Have to. And what happens is because a spirit will come over you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A spirit will attack you. And I've seen this and experienced it so many times, and I'm sure you guys have too, that when you're hearing something and you're interacting with people, all of a sudden you realize, I need to share.
Yeah.
Something. These people need a word from God.
That's right.
And you know what you need to say. But when you go to say it, a spirit resists
you. Yeah.
And you feel that thing come over you that holds you back. All of a sudden you start feeling nervous. All of a sudden you start feeling a spirit of fear or intimidation, or you start to be hindered in your ability to just speak. When if it was any other subject, you would just chime right in.
Yeah.
But because you're holding the word of God in its powerful form, in the state of the strength of God himself that could break the chains and the bonds that are in that person's life, the very spirit that is possessing them and holding them and binding them resists you in that moment. And you become sensitive to the spirit and the spiritual warfare that is taking place in that person's life. And all of a sudden, you're bound.
Yep.
Have you ever had that happen to you?
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying, you know what you want to say, and you want to say it, but you're being held back. And if you don't break through, you won't break through. Mm-hmm. But if you break through, you will destroy that yoke of bondage in that person's life.
Yep.
And you will bring that person to a place of victory because you spoke a word that had life in it, that had power in it, because it came from God.
Amen.
It wasn't yours. Right. It was the Lord. The Lord welled that up or stirred that up in you by the Spirit of God in order to speak. And when you speak, you ignite life.
Yep.
And it destroys the yokes of bondage,
amen,
the word of God
says.
Amen.
And that's in itself a contradiction, right?
Exactly.
Because, you know, we know what to say. We have the ability and the authority to do it, and yet we don't. We hold back.
Yeah.
And it kind of ties in, you know, to like, you know, what Raphael was saying, Pastor was saying earlier, just a minute ago, that we will celebrate our past. And we can talk freely about that, but when it's time to be a witness, all of a sudden we're hindered, right? We're hindered. It was, well, you know, I was the chief of sinners. Oh, in the world, I was doing this and I was doing that. Then I came to the Lord.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Then you become somber.
Wait, what? You know, what is that? You know, no, it's like, man, I was, I can't even speak on how my life was before Christ. But man, I can tell you now what Christ is doing in my life how the Spirit of God is moving and how he's transformed me and how he's given me life. And man, I can't tell you what you're missing. You got to experience it for yourself. It's the complete opposite.
Yeah.
And that is what we ought to be. We ought to be excited. When you see Christians with no life in them, they're in bondage.
Yeah. That's right.
That's the image of bondage. When you have no joy, no peace, no patience, no kindness, no gentleness, you have no life. You're not excited about life itself. You want to be excited about life. I'm telling you, life is exciting.
Yes, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Because this is not all there is. We are preparing to go to a place that God has prepared for us. And that's I am perfect. Telling you, there is life after life.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you are alive forever. You Jesus. Are alive forever.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
You are alive forever.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
You change realms. We change realms. Yes. We change realms.
Yes.
In an
Hallelujah.
Instant, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the word of God
yes.
says.
Hallelujah.
We know that we talk about the rapture, but that's what happens when you die. The same thing happens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Woo! God,
hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
That's
Hallelujah.
Why you should have no fear. No yes, fear. Lord. There's nothing to fear. Because when Christ gives you life, you have life everlasting.
Hallelujah.
You have life eternal. Oh, my Lord.
Hallelujah.
Man, I want to run. My goodness.
Get out of his way. Get out of his way.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, praise God.
Hallelujah.
You know, Pastor Shell, it's amazing. You know, that's the difference between a Christian and a politician. Christians aren't afraid of their past. Politicians try to hide it. Right?
Yeah, right.
Because the fact of the matter is that our past, you know, you can't deny your past. Right?
No.
Nor do we want to deny our past, because if you deny your past, you deny the testimony of what God has done in your
right.
past.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right.
And if you deny the testimony of what God has done in your past, you deny God.
Right. Yeah,
and you that's don't want right. to deny God his glory. You don't right. want to deny the fact that God has done right. something in your life.
Right.
And if you're just as excited when the Yankees are in the World Series, well, let me tell you something, like Pastor Shelley is saying, we're in the spiritual World Series once you have Christ in your life.
Amen.
And you
Lord,
should
hallelujah.
Be excited
Amen.
About what God is
Absolutely.
Doing in it. And if you're not excited about what God is doing in your life, you are not experiencing the same God that everyone else is.
Jesus.
Because my goodness.
And it's not that you can't.
Oh, yeah.
You
exactly.
just have to pursue the Lord.
That's right.
It's a matter of pursuit. It's yeah. who are you investing in? Who are you engaging in the things of God? Oh, man, let me get through this because we'll be here all night. Lord, have mercy.
Second service.
Hallelujah. Second service. Hallelujah. Well, this is why we don't look back, right? We don't look back when you're running. You know, it goes back to my days when I was a swimmer. You know, one of the biggest mistakes you could ever make was yeah. to look back mm-hmm. or when you're swimming, look to see where everybody Everyone. Else is. Because once you do that, it changes the You're flow really, of yeah. the water and yep. the resistance of the water that goes over your body. So when you begin to move, it throws off your rhythm by trying to look yeah, in another yeah. direction, mm-hmm. and that slows you down. And it slows you down significantly, and it would certainly hinder you enough that you could lose the race.
That's right.
And it's the same thing when we walk with God. If you're looking backwards all the time, you can never really see what God is about to do. You can't anticipate the experience that is coming towards you and what he's taking you towards. And we are called of God. We are looking to him. If anything, look up. Hallelujah.
Yes, amen.
Look up. Don't look down. Satan tries to get us to look down
yep, yep.
so that we're discouraged, so that you see the problems and the issues and all of the challenges that we face. We all face them. But God says to look up, look unto the hills from whence cometh your
Hallelujah.
Help. Because only God can make you new. Only God can transform your life. Only God can change you from the old way to the new way. And we can't help what other people do, but we can help what we do.
Amen, sir.
We That's can right. change what we do. When you change the direction in your life, everything will change. Like Genesis 1 says, the earth was formless and void. It was darkness. Isn't that a picture of our lives? Our lives are formless and void. you're kind of just going along, trying to, you know, the same old, same old. How many people do you hear say when they say, hey, what's going on? You're like, ah, same old. Yeah. Right? That's a picture of being formless and void. Because you're just going around aimlessly. You're just doing the same old thing. You're going, no, every day in Christ is a new day.
Hallelujah.
It's a
Hallelujah.
New adventure. You don't know what the next day is going to bring. Who are you going to meet today that your testimony, your story, your experience is going to impact? You ought to be getting Hallelujah. Up in the morning and saying, God, send me someone that I can share the word of God with, or impart my story to, or I can somehow impact for the kingdom of God's sake. And we ought to be looking forward. We ought to be anticipating, saying, God, give me an opportunity to be your witness. Isn't Hallelujah. That what the word yes. of God says?
Yes.
When the Spirit of God comes on you, you will be his witnesses. Witness. You can't be a witness if you haven't seen anything, right? You know, otherwise, what are you? You're a hearsay artist. You're just passing on information that you heard from somebody else. And there's a lot of people like that in the church, right? How many people are quoting scriptures that they don't even live by? So that's hearsay Christianity. You heard somebody else say it, but you don't have that as an experience for yourself. You're talking it up, hoping that it'll happen, but it ain't gonna happen because you're not doing what the Word of God says you need to be doing in order for it to happen.
Hallelujah.
Goodness. So in John 1:1-5, I want to just throw these out before we close. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. Immediately, the Word and God are together.
Amen.
Jesus Amen. Is the Word made flesh. When you align yourself with the Word of God, it's not just quoting it, it's making it a part of your
Amen.
Life.
Amen. It's
like when you eat broccoli, the nutrients are absorbed into your body. It's a part of you. There is the broccoli body, and then there's the potato Hallelujah. Chip body, right? And you can tell the guy who's eating pizza and potato chips different from the guy who's eating broccoli and spinach and a well-balanced diet, right? There's a big difference. And you can see, and to the degree that which you eat other stuff, you swell up and it begins to see. Yeah, you got all kinds of stuff in there, right? And, you know, this guy's got all kinds of stuff in there. But when you're eating healthy and you're doing things in a more balanced way, you can see it in a person's life. And the Word of God is the same way. God will transform your life. And when you Amen, live Amen. According to the Word of God and the truths of God, and you apply the principles of God, because it's principles
yes.
as
Hallelujah.
Well. That's Hallelujah. Why Solomon's experience is so important. That's yeah. why Noah's experience is important. That's why Genesis experience.
Yes.
The same things that happened to the disciples and all the people who are written as testimony in the Word of God, you can have the same experiences
Hallelujah.
If you apply the principles that they applied while in the situations that they were in.
Yes, hallelujah, hallelujah.
So you don't have to stay the same. We are being transformed day by day, and it begins with the Word of God. It's the very first thing. If you want a new beginning, begin with the Word
yes,
of God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Begin applying the Word of God. Let it change your life. It says all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being.
Jesus.
You see that?
Hallelujah.
That means without the Word, you got nothing.
Nothing.
You don't even have the new car. You don't even have a home. You don't even have a place. God is the author and the finisher of everything. God
Amen.
Created man who created the other stuff.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Right?
Hallelujah.
And the reason Amen. God did it is because he made man in his own image, and God is a creator. And
Amen.
So people create because Amen. We're in the image of God. So when people create things, it's not because they were so great. It's because there's a greater one who created you that
his
enabled
image.
You to create.
Exactly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I think they call that artificial intelligence. How many many people are artificially intelligent?
Oh, yeah.
I say that that's all of humanity is
that's
artificially
right.
intelligent. Because God is the one who's the real
Amen.
Intelligent
Amen.
Being.
Amen.
It is God who is
Amen.
The one. And that God has created us to have good sense, which people don't seem to have. So it's a contradictory in terms.
There you go.
Hallelujah. Amen. And so God has called us to understand that everything comes through God. He's the one. And he says in verse 4, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it.
Amen.
Isn't that the world?
Yes.
This is the state of the world. And you and I are, we're here to bring life to people so they can have some form of comprehension.
Yes.
And one sows, another waters, and then God brings the increase.
Hallelujah.
That's what
Hallelujah.
The Lord does. That's what God is calling us to do. You and I, we're not here to save people. We're here to just sow.
Yeah.
We're sowing
yeah.
a seed
yeah. Yeah.
or
yeah.
we're sowing yeah. a drop of water, right?
Right?
The seed is the word of God, and the water represents the word of God.
Right.
And so the two go together. They're two nutrients, and it's the Spirit of God that brings the increase.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the anointing that breaks the yokes of bondage. And that's why we have to fill up. We have to be in a right spirit. When you're operating in a right spirit, the anointing of God will arise in your life. That only comes through abiding in the Word. So the more you abide in the Word, the more the anointing of God will stir up in your life.
Hallelujah.
And the more what you say
Hallelujah.
Will come from
yes,
God.
Lord.
And
Hallelujah.
The more people's lives around you
Jesus.
Will be impacted and bondages will be broken.
Increase.
And
Hallelujah.
It'll happen with you first. And it'll overflow into everybody around you. And it doesn't even matter what you're doing. You could just be hanging around eating chips.
Pizza.
Hallelujah. And God will show up. God will show up and he will do something different. So we look up. We're expecting God to do something. In Acts 17, 24, 20, it says, then the God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands.
Hallelujah.
Think about that. God does not dwell in temples made with hands. But what are you?
Amen.
Who am I? Maybe. We are the temple of the Holy
made
Spirit.
It together.
Were we made with human hands?
Nope.
No, we were created by God. It says in Genesis, go back to the beginning. It all goes back to God. It all begins with God. The Spirit of God wants to indwell you. He wants to arise in you, in me. And the Spirit of God breathes in us. He gives us life. The anointing
Amen.
Stirs.
Hallelujah.
The hand of God begins to do a new thing. God doesn't want us to stay the same. He wants us to grow, to transform. Everything that God does, everything that is about him has life in it and comes to life. It says in verse 25, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all
Amen.
Things.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see that? Everything you have comes from God.
Amen.
So, man, enjoy yourself in the Lord. Stop slaving in order to do stuff. Seek the Lord. Let
yes.
God direct you. God
Hallelujah.
Will show you. He will not leave you or forsake you. God
Hallelujah.
Will make a way for you.
Hallelujah.
He will open
Hallelujah.
Doors for you. He will cause all things to work together for your good because you love him and are called according to his purpose.
Yes.
You're not living for yourself.
Yes.
You're living
Hallelujah.
According to or unto his purposes. That's the rest of the verse, in case you don't know that. Right? It's not just for anybody. God's not just making all things work together for your good for everybody or for anybody, but only for those who are living according to his purposes.
Yes. Hallelujah.
You've got to redirect and shift your purpose, your focus. We're living unto God. We have been bought with a price. We've been purchased with blood. We are no longer our own. We belong to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And God
Hallelujah.
Will sustain us. He will keep us. He will make a way for us.
Yes,
he will open
Lord.
Doors
Hallelujah.
That no one
Hallelujah.
Can shut. God will cause
Jesus.
All things to work together
yes,
for your
Hallelujah.
Good.
Hallelujah.
Love God. And don't be ashamed to let people know, yes, I love God. And you would listen, when you get start getting close to God through the word and the word starts coming alive in you, you won't be able to keep that to yourself. And so often we as Christians, we can, well, I've been saved 50 years. I've been in the way. Get out of the way, man. Get out of the way and get in the word. Let the word of God dwell in you. Don't try to figure out. I'm not saying become a theologian. Theologians are going to hell by the bucketfuls. All you need to do is get to know Jesus. Get to know the Lord. Love him. Abide in his word. Abide in his presence. Allow the Spirit of the Lord to transform you and make you new. You will be drawn into fellowship with him. You'll be drawn into relationship with him. God is able to do abundantly more than you could ever ask or imagine. This is a reality. Oh, saints of God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my Lord. Hallelujah. It says, he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. You see that? In other words, God determines where you're going to live, where you're going to operate. He's determining how long you're going to live at all. God determines that. So why not live for him so he could say, well, well done. I'm going to keep him going. Oh, I'm going to keep this guy going. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, this is going to be good. I got to keep this guy going. Hallelujah. And you want God to keep you going. But if you're not doing anything for the sake of the kingdom of God and you're not making a difference, why would God want to keep you going? Right? Why? Why would anybody want to keep you going? And so this is why we serve the Lord, and we're rejoicing in him. The kid that doesn't obey his parents, they can't wait for them to move out. Right? You live with a kid that's annoying, won't listen, does his own thing, causing problems, right? They want to party. They want to wreak havoc in your house. They want to eat all your stuff. They want to break all your furniture. They're mad and angry, punching holes in walls, and they're doing all kinds of crazy, ridiculous stuff, and you can't even keep ahead because they keep dragging you back and dragging you down. They got problems with this thing and that thing and the law and their personal lives. They can't get a job or they can't keep a job or they can't do this or that. Man, you can't wait to get rid of that person. You're like, good God, please, Lord. You know what, Lord? Just take me. Take me. Just take me. Take me, Lord. Take me.
Save him, God. Save him.
Right, because God wants to breathe life into us. And that's why he does what he does, so that we can breathe life into others. Do something that God can be proud of.
Hallelujah.
Just start by abiding in his word. Look, nobody knows really what to do. The Spirit of God he works things out, and there you are doing it. There you are doing it.
That's true.
It just happens by the Spirit. And I'm telling you, this thing is incredible. It's real. All right, I'm going to. Hey, verse 27. It says that they would seek God if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from
each of us. Thank you, Jesus.
Saints of God, the Lord is not far from you. You are not far from God. All you need to do is grope for him. That means earnestly desire. You're like, it's in your gut. You're like, oh, Lord, I need you. I need to pursue God. And you're hungry and you're thirsty for the word of God, the truths of God, because in him we live and we move and exist. It says, and even some of your own poets have said, for we also are his children. In other words, he's saying, even in secular writings, people refer to humanity as being people of God. And saints of God, there are certain truths even the world knows. Even the world knows, and they abide by it. Mm. That's why the rich get richer, because they're generous. And people who are not generous can't prosper. Only generous people prosper. And it doesn't matter if you only have a little bit or if you have a lot. If you're faithful with a few, you will be made ruler over many. That is a divine principle for all humanity. And you and I have to learn the word of God so that we can prosper in our ways, in our lives. And there are all types of little things that the word of God teaches us that enables us to have a different life experience than the common average person. Acts 1, 4 to 8, and I'm going to close. It says, gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard from me. And that is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. In verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the remotest parts of the earth. And saints of God, you need the Spirit of God. Jesus called the disciples. He called them. They were fishermen. They were tax collectors. They were rioters. They were freelance, what are those guys called? Militia. They were part of a freelance militia group. And they had all of these occupations that they were a part of before Christ called the disciples. And Jesus is saying as he's ascending, he says, don't go back to your old ways. Don't go back to your old life. Don't look back. Don't look back to what you were. I am leaving, but I want you to wait for the promise of the Father. I am not going to leave you alone. I'm sending the Spirit of God to you so that you can have power. You can have the same power that raised me from the dead can dwell in you. And thank you, God, that is what's available to us today. You and I, we can be filled with the Spirit of God. Don't look back. Don't allow the world to distract you or to make you think that you're somehow missing out on something. I'm telling you, when you pursue God, your life will be changed. Hallelujah. Don't look back. Allow the Spirit of God to do a new thing in you. Only God can change your life. In the beginning, God.
Yes.
In the beginning, in the morning, God. In the beginning of your night's rest, God. In the beginning of your daily routine and your job, God. In the beginning of your meal, God. In the beginning of your work, God. Whatever it is you're going to do, when you get in your car, you turn the key. In the beginning, God.
Hallelujah.
Let
Hallelujah.
God show up.
Yes.
Let God arise.
Hallelujah.
Let the Spirit of the Lord move. Let him be glorified. Let him be magnified. Let him be lifted up. Let him be exalted. And allow the Lord God to do a new thing in your life. Amen. 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 Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's rise to our feet. Hallelujah. The chorus. Come on. Hallelujah. You to know the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ today. I want you to understand that God wants to do a new thing in your life. Don't think the way you used to think. Don't operate the way you used to operate. Let God do a new thing in your life. If you want a different life experience, you've got to do things differently. You can't continue to do the same old thing and expecting something new to happen. Something has to change, and it requires you to arise. And it's not even hard. Just pick up the book. You don't even have to pick up the book. Pick up the phone and allow the Word of God to minister to you. Put it on. You can. We have an app. Did you know we have a church app? Do you know in the church app there's a Bible program that will read to you, and you can listen, and if you do a little bit every day, you can go through the entire Bible and you can learn the Word of God. You can just let it minister to you. It'll just speak to you. You don't have to try to figure it out. You don't have to try to understand it. Just let it go in. Look, I don't understand how kale and broccoli and spinach does whatever it does. I don't know. I don't know how it works. I don't know how saturated fat gets stuck in an artery. I don't know that either. But I know not to eat a whole bag of chips every day, because if I do, I end up with arteries clogged. Isn't that right? And so what do I eat? I try to eat more healthy stuff. That's wisdom, right? Well, if you're living your life like a bag of chips and you end up with a clogged up life filled with distractions and you can't hear what the Spirit of God is saying and you don't have a sense of godly direction and you don't know the anointing and the presence of God in your own home, then that means you need to change something, because the Spirit of God should be at your house. And if I come to your house, the anointing ought to be there. Well, it will be there when I show up, I'm gonna tell you right now. But it ought to have been there already, because you're there. And you and I, we all live by the same rules. I'm no different than you. I'm no better than you. I just know the Word of God and I'm applying it in my life. And that's all we can all do. That's all we all have. We all have the same things. We all go to ShopRite. We all go up and down the aisles are the same for everybody, right? You don't go down an aisle with fruit and vegetables and all of a sudden it turns into burgers and chips and hot dogs. Well, kind of, if you go around. Anyway, but you know what I'm saying. You and I, we have the same tools available to us. Let's use them. And we're here to help each other. We're here to help each other. And that's why, listen, we're not condemning anybody for their faults or their shortcomings. That's not who we are as a church. We're not here to condemn. The Word of God says the world is already condemned. You're already in a condemned world, so we're not here to condemn. But we're here to breathe life. And we know that if you're going to experience life, you have to align yourself with the Word of God, with the truth of God. Because the world wants to take you away from God. That's what the world is doing. The world is trying to erase the impact of Christianity and the gospel from the world. They're trying to free themselves from it. And that's why the Word of God says in the last days, perilous times shall come. Have you ever read that? Matthew 24, read it, right? And so, the world is going to continue to get worse, but you and I will be buffered, just like Noah was buffered from the flood. You and I will be buffered from the world. God will sustain us. And then, like that very wise woman once said, if we die, but we don't die. Psych on you, Satan. Ha 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 ha! Psych on you! That's why Paul said, for me to live is Christ. But to die, I'm gonna do the Alex dance. Right? To die is to gain. Hallelujah. When you apply the principles of God in your life. Now don't die without applying principles of Christ in your life. That can't vouch for that. Die in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Live for Christ. Whatever you do, whether it's in word or in deed, you do it all in the name and the authority, under the power, under the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that what the scripture says? Oh my goodness. Come on. Come on, the Hulk. Come on, brother. Yeah. I'm telling you. We have a reason to be happy. We have a reason to rejoice. We have a reason to give thanks. All right. Y'all ready to go home? I know. You ready to go home? Look, okay. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. Sing that song again. Pick it up a little. It's a little slow. Come on. Yeah, come on. Yeah, come on. Heaven alive.